Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Glory, blessing, praise eternal, thus the choir of angels sings. Honor, riches, power, dominion, thus its praise creation brings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Amen. Now tomorrow is Trinity Sunday, as you probably figured out. We just got done saying the Athanasian Creed. I'm sure that some of you are not too keen on its length. Perhaps some of you are unsure about the language used. And you saw probably that Pastor Walther has a note in the bulletin in regard to some of that. But you should also know that this creed has passed the test of time. Not that that is the be-all and end-all in regard to whether something is true or not. But centuries of church, pastor and lay people, men and women, have confessed this to be a true statement of what we believe about God, what he has done for us, and what the scriptures say about him. Now, another creed say everything about God, of course. We would never finish confessing that if that were so. But it is enough to state that our God is one God, yet three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And, as you see, that this is not optional. To have another God than the triune God would be idolatry. If you are not fine with the creeds, if you are not fine with the Trinity, the problem is probably with you, because it is all over the scriptures, and his glory fills the whole earth. But maybe you're caught by surprise every year when we do this, and you think about the Trinity and wonder why. Why the Trinity? Right? Now, I understand this urge. Nevertheless, asking why the Trinity is like asking, why the Mississippi River? Right? If you were driving over that bridge and your child looks up to you and asks you, why the Mississippi River? You would look puzzled and look at him and say, what do you mean? Why the Mississippi River? That's nonsense. Well, what do you mean? Just so, the question, why the Trinity? Do you mean why do we talk about it? Why do we think about it? Well, why do you talk and think about the Mississippi? I guess probably because you know that it exists. Because you have to interact with it. You have to deal with it in some way when going from here to there. And it's not going away if you don't believe in it. God is the same. Why the Trinity? Because the triune God exists. Right? This is how he reveals himself. This is what he tells Moses his name is. I am. And also because you have to interact with him. You have to deal with this triune God in some way. God creates us. The Son redeems us. The Holy Spirit calls us. It draws us back to the Father through the Son. And he is not going away, no matter who doesn't believe in him. Or maybe when you think this question, what you really mean is, why should I care about the Trinity? What is in it for me? There we go. Now, this is a question that you have added self-centeredness to. Right? That's not going the right direction. That is not where you want to go. Namely, that is the direction of when you don't think something concerns you, even something as important as this, or more bluntly, if that something does not result in stuff that things you want now, then you don't really see a need to care about it. What's in it for me is a way of putting yourself at the center, the star of your own movie, as Pastor Miller put it last week. But the truth is that this, by that I mean reality, real life, is not your movie. You are not the center. And if you continue to think like that, if you continue to act like that, you will isolate yourselves from other people, because other people and their plans will interfere with you and your plans. And to think like that is a form of blindness. And when it gets bad enough, you will isolate yourself from other people. You will not see them until eventually you are all alone. And this mindset, this is something that very much affects our age. It's throughout our whole culture. This is an age of loneliness. It is an age of depression. It is an age of social anxiety, an age of disconnection. And it is that despite it being an age that is saturated with social media, despite many people having hundreds or even thousands of friends online, despite joining groups and trends that we follow and we like to identify with, and yet nevertheless we recognize that oftentimes we end up sitting alone. And we are not satisfied with it, but still we insist we know a lot. We know a lot about how the world is. We know a lot about how it should work. After all, we can look all that stuff up on the internet or learn about it on the news channels. And in John chapter 3, there is a theme that doesn't begin here. It carries throughout the entire Gospel of John. And here we have a character named Nicodemus, who insists on what he knows. He is a Pharisee, and later on Jesus will say that the Pharisees are guilty because they insist that they see. They insist that they see. They know the truth. But in the Gospel of John, whenever Jesus sees this, he puts a stop to it. Wherever he encounters it, they do not know about him, the Son, despite what they see. They do not know the Father, because only Jesus reveals the Father. They do not have the Holy Spirit. Right? Please notice in our gospel reading, there is a Trinitarian reference right there. And that the Pharisees and all unbelievers through all time are wrong because they are detached. They do not know the Trinity. And so they have isolated themselves because of what they know, which is really about who they don't know. And so Jesus shuts down Nicodemus's line of questioning with, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And this is easily one of the most offensive truths that you will find in the scriptures. That is so because it means that you are not the center. You do not call the shots. And Jesus tells you that you have to be born again. And Jesus makes it clear that this is not something that Nicodemus or anyone else, including any of us, can do for ourselves. Now, we want it to be that way. Nicodemus inquires somehow about how I could be born again. Jesus says, you cannot get there from here. He says that the Spirit spirits wherever he wants to, not where we want him to. So Nicodemus eventually ends his speaking in today's gospel reading with, how can this be? Right? He wants to understand. And if you keep reading through the gospel, Nicodemus will understand eventually, but it will be on Jesus' terms and not his. Sit back and watch. Sit and listen. Jesus tells Nicodemus and us, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And yet, despite his errors, there is something that Nicodemus gets that we do not. Nicodemus thinks he sees and wants to see God at work here on earth, in manifest ways. And our age does not think like that. Even when Christians like us believe in miracles, when we know that God is at work in the world, we don't like to talk about it in the same way that Nicodemus wants to talk about it. And while Nicodemus is caught up too much with the miracles of healing and that kind of thing, Jesus does insist to him that God is doing greater things, earthly things, right before his very eyes. And these are the works of God that are still going on here on earth before our eyes as well. When Jesus is talking about the new birth, when Jesus is talking about the voice of the Spirit being heard, when he is talking about the Son being lifted up, he is not talking about things that are unseen or unheard. He is talking about things that happen here on earth, in real life, before our eyes, in our ears. And our age may want it to be purely spiritual, whatever way we mean that. But Jesus will insist that that is not how relationships work. So that is not how God works. When Isaiah complains in our Old Testament reading that he has unclean lips, the messenger that God sends brings a colt to Isaiah's lips. When God wants to save the world, he sends his son in the flesh to die on a cross. When he wants to save each and every one of you, he washes you physically, right? He feeds you physically. He speaks in your ears. Your eardrums vibrate so that the Holy Spirit may enter in. Things get real just like that. When God is at work, he is not like an online friend. And Christianity is not like a group that you join just like you would a Facebook group where it kind of exists, sort of. Now, when God calls you to be his, he physically does it. He does it by words in your ears, water upon your head, food in your mouth. And he calls you to a community. Right, a fellowship, a communion of saints. They are around you here, now. But God also calls you to the Holy Family. If the Trinity means anything, it means that you are not alone. As you read through the Old Testament, as you read through the beginning, as you read through Genesis, the first time you hear the words not good in the Bible are when God says that it is not good for man to be alone. God wants us to have company. Company that is like us and yet differentiated from us. Why? Why would he do that? Well, because Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are never alone. And they are distinct. They have always been around, and they have always been for each other. This is reflected in creation. We humans are created to not be alone. The Eve is created for Adam, and they are involved in the creation of others. And here we are, thousands of years later, there are billions of us. And aside from that family, when we are in God's family, when he has placed his name upon us, we are never alone. Even when we aren't around other people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we never feel lonely or anything like that. But when we do feel that way, we need to remember that the triune God is still here with us. That Jesus promises that he will be with us until the end of the age. That the Holy Spirit never forgets us. That there is no place that we can go, not even death itself, where God is not with us. Why the Trinity? Well, because Father, Son, and Spirit are everywhere. And even when we do not want to deal with them, because we are sinners, nevertheless, they come and they deal with us to forgive our sins, to call us back to life, to bring us into the family forever. Amen.